You're listening to Banal Leakage, episode 24. Keep reaching for the stars. Hello and welcome back. It's Father's Day here, and happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. I hope your day was spent with your kids. I went to brunch with my daughter this morning and enjoyed spending time with her before she had to go to work today. So it was always nice to spend time with your kids. Now that NHL and NBA are pretty much done, well, NBA playoffs are still going on right now, but we can let baseball have its focus in the sports world, which does bring quite a bit of time for outdoor activities. You know, go to the ballpark, hang out at the park, go, you know, do all that kind of stuff. And with that, let's start the news. Google Fiber is coming to Portland, Oregon. So the Portland City Council recently signed an intent slash agreement to bring the high-speed fiber internet connection to the city. So it's still all in the planning stages, but the mayor is excited about the prospect of a 1-gig fiber connection into homes and businesses. So right now, Google Fiber, I'm sure most of you that are in, you know, keeping up on some tech stories and things like that, tech news. So Google Fiber is available only in 3 cities so far. That's Kansas City, Missouri, Austin, Texas, and Provo, Utah. Yes, Provo, Utah, which is about 45 miles south of me here in Salt Lake. So they have 1-gig fiber connectivity. They actually took over Provo City's fiber connectivity. I guess they were kind of bankrupt, not really doing so well. So Google Fiber came in and revived it and kept the connection alive. So there's always ongoing construction in each one of these cities that they expand into. Like Kansas City, you know, for instance, there's Kansas City, Missouri, and Kansas City, Kansas. Well, the Missouri side is the only one that has Google Fiber so far. So there's plans in the next year to expand into the different cities, you know, the outlying suburban areas. So on the list of sites when the Google Fiber talks about here, you know, cities that are under consideration, there's quite a few of them. And one is Salt Lake City. I'm like, cool. So that, you know, that could mean, I mean, it can mean anything. I mean, they might just start with, you know, the downtown location and then, you know, then expand out into, you know, the Salt Lake Valley here. So you know, maybe, you know, it could take a few years, but hey, it's a start. And the promise of a viable ISP that competes with these cable monopolies, you know, I'm all for that. That gives me hope for the future. I mean, I'm excited that this is actually, they're considering it. It's not a possibility yet, but, you know, it's under consideration, and I've got to be excited about that, you know. So there's 3 different plans that they usually have for these. There's internet and television, internet only, and free internet, which you pay the upfront $300 installation cost, and then you get a free internet connection, which is 5 gigs. I'm not sure if that's both up and down or just down, but, you know, so 5 gigs really, I mean, you know, for a home connection really isn't that, you know, it's not much. So if you're doing anything more than just basic email and web browsing, yeah, you're not going to like that connection. You're going to want something 20 gig or faster, or, you know, in the case of full Google Fiber, it's 1 gigabit. So, you know, I'm looking forward to this, you know, this promise of, you know, a fast internet that's not only, you know, reliable, but also can compete with the, you know, with the Comcast and the Time Warners and, you know, all the other ones that are out there that are, you know, taking up the monopoly of internet connectivity. Casey Kasem, longtime DJ and radio broadcaster, has died at the age of 82, just this morning, actually, Sunday morning. So he was most famous for hosting the American Top 40 radio show for 18 years, from starting on July 4th, 1970. So, you know, he would make long-distance dedications. You know, he'd have that, you know. And now I'm reading a letter from Jeremy to his girlfriend Sally, you know, I mean, things like that. And they would have some story, you know, sometimes touching, sometimes kind of cheesy, but, and then play a song, you know, like a dedication, long distance. You know, that's what he was most famous for. Most people actually know this, but he did a lot of voiceover acting, and was most famous for playing Shaggy on the original Scooby-Doo cartoon. Zoinks! You know, so yeah, I know you kind of picture him doing something like that, I guess, or not, you know. Anyway, the last couple of years have been difficult. He's had declining health. He suffered from dementia. But it was the battle that his second wife had with his children from his first wife, his first marriage. So Carrie Kasem, who's into radio as well, they went to court. They recently gained access to her father in any of the end-of-life decisions. So it was just kind of a weird mess, you know. You want to try and really think about, you know, someone's dying, you should get together, you should all be on the same page, you should find ways to be communicative with each other, not battling things out in court over, you know, his care and where his whereabouts were for some time. So he's, you know, sad he's gone, but, you know, he had a good long history. He's very famous in radio. He gave his last countdown show on July 4th, 2009. 5 years before, he pretty much handed over the whole countdown show to Ryan Seacrest. Seacrest out, or I like saying that. I'm sorry, but he has that whole, you know, it was just a standard radio thing that you know that a lot of these other DJs like Ryan Seacrest, you know, came in and, you know, followed suit, you know, took over that whole thing. So anyway. He will be missed from the airwaves. President Obama says denying climate change is like arguing that the moon is made of cheese. He actually did say that in his address at Angel Stadium yesterday to graduates of University of California, Irvine, UCI. He urged them to be active in causes to protect the environment, discussed how stubborn Congress is in enacting any sort of change or money or any type of progress to help, you know, eliminate climate change or to, you know, to stop the further decline of you know, human actions. So, you know, we really need to do this. You know, I know several people that don't believe in climate change. They think it's a hoax. They think it's some type of, you know, liberal agenda or something like that. You know, it's like, but, you know, the figures are real. You know, most of these people that don't believe in it are not scientists. And they really haven't studied the erosion of the planet. You know, I take this pretty serious. When I find someone that doesn't believe in climate change or global warming, which I don't really like to use that word because, you know, the critics of global warming or climate change go like, well, gosh, it's cold today. It's not global warming. You know, and I'm like, you really have to understand and have an open mind and reading all the things that the scientists have been tracking for, you know, hundreds of years, hundreds of thousands of years, and what they've been seeing, you know, what kind of damage to the planet that's been. So, you know, there's a lot we can do to reduce our carbon footprint, you know. So my wish is that for younger generations to get behind this, and those of us that are older to support and help them. There, you know, again, there's so many that are against this. You know, that don't, you know, let's take something simple here, okay? Car exhaust, okay? Something like car exhaust didn't exist 500 years ago, you know? And so when a lot of these, you know, climate change deniers or global warming deniers are, you know, calling it a hoax, it's like, oh, it can't be man-made. Well, I don't know. How, you know, exhaust coming out of a car, I don't care that cars run cleaner today. It's still a type of pollutant that's going through the air. So, you know, if you're going to be against it, you know, stop stopping people from making changes. You know, you can be against something, but don't stand in the way of those of us that do believe that climate change is real and that, you know, we're just trying to make things better for our planet, you know, leave a future for our next generations here. So, you know, change your habits. Let's hope a brighter future will emerge, and we can still reverse a good amount of this, you know, the damage that's been caused. This week's rant, light rail trains never run late enough at night. So here in Utah, we have light rail and have had it since December of 1999. It's called UTA, or Utah Transit Authority. And before light rail, they had a bus system, but you know that we now have four different rail lines here in the city, which you know is really kind of cool. I mean, it is cool, but due to budget cuts and everything like that, the trains rarely run later than 11:40 at night. I mean, bars close at 1, last calls at 12:45. But if you're on a train and you don't have a ride home or you don't feel like bugging a friend or a spouse or another family member, then you need to leave the bar at 11 o'clock and, make sure that you're out on time and catching your train. So the thing that irritates me the most about this is that there's a lot of people that don't drive, or they don't own a car or they like to take the train. They like taking public transportation, if you go to other cities like Chicago or New York or, Dallas or Washington, D.C., I mean, their subways are just, public transportation is highly supported, and the trains run 2 a.m., 3 a.m. some places, even Denver. Denver has a light rail system, and the trains run past 1 a.m. to get people home, You get people stranded on Friday and Saturday nights, they're trying to get back home to, but then they have to, hope that a friend's awake that can take them home if they've had too much to drink. So, UTA is, like I said earlier, they always claim it's a budget thing, yet somehow they can pay most of their executives, high six-figure incomes, but cut train and bus services, or don't run trains during certain events and things like that. So, taxis, we have taxis here in Salt Lake, but, sometimes taxis, they're not as prevalent as they are, say, like in Las Vegas or New York. So sometimes people, can wait up to an hour for, after they call a taxi service to come pick them up, So really what I'm hoping for is that UTA will change track schedules so that they run the trains longer at night. That would be nice. Those of us that do frequent the bar on Friday night that don't want to drive to avoid a possible DUI or we don't want to bother family or friends, we'd like to take public transportation. So let's hope changes will happen in the future. For this week's shameless plug, Slash, the guitarist, yes, the famous guitarist with the top hat, he is back with a new album coming out this fall called World on Fire. And the album comes out September 15th. The first single is the title track to the album, and it rocks. I attached it to the show notes, the podcast notes the blog post. I've liked Slash in just about anything musically he's done. So, I take that back. So it took me a little bit to get into the first Guns N' Roses album, Appetite for Destruction, when it came out in 1987. I know, very shocking. There was a few other albums that took a while to catch hold that are now my favorites. So, now Appetite for Destruction is in one of my top 10 albums of all time. So, Slash, this time around, like his previous album, Apocalyptic Love, which came out in 2012. The backing band is Miles Kennedy on lead vocals. He's from the band Alter Bridge. He kicked ass on that 2012 album. And he just has a great way of making songs and things like that. The new album that is coming out has 17 tracks. And, I hope it's going to be as good or better than Apocalyptic Love, which I loved. That was one of my favorite albums in 2012. So the new song is quite catchy. It's got some great guitar riffs and guitar licks. September cannot come soon enough. Come on, Slash. 24 hours in a day, 24 podcast episodes? No coincidence. Want to leave feedback? Email podcast@banalleakage.com. Thank you for listening, and as always, if you can't be specific, just be random.